We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with Riley County Commissioner John Ford, and we are taking phone calls this hour. If you have a question or a comment or a concern, you can certainly call us here at 537-1350. John, one of the things you guys talked about last week at the County Commission meeting was the Flint Hills Regional Council membership, and that council voted, I think, on November 30th at their meeting to raise the membership dues on everyone. That kind of sent a lot of folks into kind of a panic here because budgets are already set for 2022, and then you get this request here, and they got to pay it by the end of the month. Pottawatomie County was wrestling with this issue. I know last month they ultimately decided to go ahead and pay it, which was I was a little surprised by that because their population has increased a lot. Mm-hmm. And then Riley County, it comes to you guys last week, and you guys went ahead and decided to end your membership for now.
Correct. I summed that up pretty well. Yeah, it popped up on our radar fast. We knew there was changes. You know, their former executive director moved on. That part we were fully aware of, and we knew that there would be some transitions that would be involved in that process. That's just always the case. But when the membership dues came up, it was kind of a surprise. Like you said, you know, we'd already gone through our entire budget this year, all of our outside agencies would just incorporates into. We kept basically flat. Really, the 30% increase, particularly for this year, I don't know following. There's a lot of things I don't know and understand, and it's kind of hard to do when you don't have that, I guess, that leader of your organization, so you can really kind of follow what their vision and what their path forward is going to be. So it's a real challenge with that. But I didn't like the idea that that 30% increase was going to pay off a new loan that they had reestablished. I don't think that, you know, and we're not talking a large amount of money in the greater scope of things, a little north of $4,000. But at the same time, it's the principle behind that. I mean, we're using tax dollars to kind of bring back intrinsic value through services and other dynamics, not paying off a financial institution and some other agencies, you know, fiscal needs or, you know, institutional stuff that they're trying to pay for. That's not what that should be about. And I think for me, that was the biggest issue of all. And then springing that at the beginning of the year. I know the dues and stuff come up at the end of the year, but there's usually some discussions in the past about that. And that just, you know, if they would have mentioned back in, even in late in the year afterwards, hey, this is kind of coming, this is why this has to come, you know, maybe that would have been a little bit more beneficial in discussion. To be honest with you, I think all three of us kind of had the same mindset, and it was a 2-0-1 vote, but at the same time, it was, you know, we're working on some other things internally too, so maybe these resources are better spent there for the moment. I'll feel more comfortable with the regional council once I know they have somebody in place and what that vision and focus is. I didn't get a whole lot of, well, this is what we're working on in the short term from the board. It was kind of quiet. I felt sorry for the, I guess, interim executive director trying to explain that. That's not really her job and responsibilities either. She's more of kind of a planner internally. So it's just difficult. There's kind of a lot of flux there right now. And, you know, if something happens to the council as a whole, who's responsible for that? Our budget and finance committee kind of looked through that, had some red flags of their own there too in terms of assets based off of what they have, loans and interest and everything that figures into that. And there was just too much for me at this point in time to feel comfortable moving on. As you mentioned, for now, quote unquote, it's not a completely dead issue. It's something we can continue to talk and discuss and figure out where we're at. But like I said, you know, we spent the last segment talking about the Economic Development Committee. I still think that there's some things that we can do on our own. We've got some people internally that can write some grants when the time comes up. We have to contract for one or two of those. You know, it's possible. We're going to have to look at those probably one by one by one anyway. We've had some problems, I'm told, in the past, even before my time, trying to secure some of those things with the resources that they have. So there was just a lot on the plate there, and I felt like maybe we need to go a different direction, at least temporarily and for the short term.
One of the things they do a lot is write grants, as I understand it, for economic development. I think I'm right on that. What has been the benefit for Riley County being a member of the regional council? Do you have any information?
Well, we I think originally joined because of the JLU study that was part of noise abatement and a few other things with Fort Riley, and obviously that makes sense. I think we've gone through that process pretty thoroughly at this point in time. There's a Brownsfield grant. It's a very large grant that they secure every year. So, you know, if we need bits and pieces of that, we can work with them to get that. I mean, there are some things that have been good through the years and would still currently be good. It's just there's so many unknowns outside of that that when I weigh them out and have to make that decision, I had to go the way I went with that at this point in time because of it. So, and I still think that there's some other – right now, as COVID, non-COVID, however you want to look at it, there's pots of money laying out there all over. Federal dollars, state dollars, grants, CDBG type funds. It's not, you know, streamlined into just a couple of lanes here. There's a whole intricate interstate system of funding, if you want to call it at this point in time. We would like to get more and more of that into the area. I think that's the regional council's approach. We're paying it. Let's keep it here. Let's not let it go someplace else. But at the same time, you know, if we can do some of those things, I think a little bit more consistently internally and do that, we can get it done a little bit quicker and with our own vice in mind.
All right. Have you heard from the chamber on this?
I talked to the chamber in advance and said, hey, we're having this conversation. Don't know where it's going to go yet. Even if we do decide to do it this year, it'll probably be a really robust discussion come budget season for 2023. I anticipate that as well moving forward. They're still going to do some of their work and their efforts through that, the city as well. For us, it's not based off of the city of Manhattan and the other four smaller communities. It's based off the unincorporated population, which is about 14,000 and some change. I don't know the exact number. And those are the people that don't live inside of one of the cities, so not Manhattan, Ogden, Leonardville, Randolph, and Raleigh. And, you know, it's about $13,200 and something dollars. I'm spitting that off the top of my head, but I'm close.
I think I got it here.
Oh, you've got the – okay.
So it's like 13,202 is what the proposed –
I was off by $2. Okay. Well, I rounded down on that one, so I was being a little conservative. You know, to me, that's about dollar for dollar per person, and that's with the $4,000 increase. So, you know, when basically two-thirds of that are going for membership services, a third of going that for debt reduction, I know the fiscal impacts of the organization really isn't mine or the other 14,000 people's concern. It's the intrinsic value we're getting for those dollars, and I'm going to weigh that out. It just wasn't working.
All right. And yeah, the 2020 census there for their figures was 14,669. That's actually down a little bit from the 2010 census, about a little over 500 people. So
yeah, we had overall, I think, a 1-point-something growth. And I think that's probably contained in the university sector, even though it's gone down significantly on the back half of the decade. But and then Fort Riley may have a few people that kind of stayed on after maybe they got out, came in here, were restationed here, and then basically stayed here. So that's, you know, moving forward in terms of economic development, how do we keep population here and how do we grow that a little bit is going to be part of that equation too. So,
yeah. Yeah. And, of course, redistricting, we talked a little bit about that. That's a where do you think that's going here with Riley County? Are we going to fall into a different district here as far as the legislature is concerned?
I would I'm naturally thinking that lines are just going to be shifted. I know in the 66 they gained something like 6,000, 8,000 total. So I would assume that the other two districts would kind of redistrict to the point where they pick up bits and some pieces of that. So that would be the 51st and the maybe the 66th on the north end, and then obviously the 67th on the west end. I don't know where those lines are going to be drawn. All I hope is it doesn't work out the way it did in 2012, where it leads right up to the filing deadline, and everybody filed on a Friday, and some people find themselves in a new district on Monday. We need to be better than that one for sure. I haven't heard much about it. I know they've had some work sessions, I guess public input type of group. So I know there's some things laid on the table. I don't know where that's going to go just yet. I think in terms of Riley County, because we will have to redistrict too, I don't see much of a shift there because, like I said, the overall population didn't change all that much. Maybe a couple city district or boundaries or something may have to change or something, but really outside of that, I don't see a significant change there. I know that Senator Hawk over in the 22nd district picked up quite a bit on the western end there, particularly in Gary County. So I don't know if he's going to have to split some of his with his northern and Southern person that he serves, colleagues that he serves with, that may be a possibility there. But I don't see us getting a new district. I don't see us having one taken away. I would really think it would just be a matter of where those boundaries are to fit the population definitions.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take a break. One more segment here with John Ford. We'll talk about emergency operations next on News Radio KMAN.